And what was the mission today when you got in front of the guys?
Sure. We talked about, well, introduction, right? Got a lot of new faces on the staff, so I think it was important to do some introductions. And then kind of talked about what we thought the expectations were, or what were our objectives for the first 2 weeks. And we talked about learning, conditioning, and communicating. And really, that's what they can do. It's phase one rules, and we meet, we lift, we run, and then we try to learn our teammates and learn our coaches and learn the system.
Do you have all your players here today?
Obviously, we didn't take attendance, and everybody understands it's voluntary. So I don't really, to be honest with you, I don't know. It looked pretty good to me, but again, we didn't take attendance, and the guys that were here seemed engaged, set in on the offensive meetings and the defensive meetings, and then, you know, we'll get an update on what they looked like, you know, from a conditioning perspective, the ones that were here from Tom and his crew.
We said you talked about this day since you got the job. I mean, how good was it to get started, you know, to deliver a message?
There wasn't much sleep last night. I was pretty excited to be able to come in here and stand up here in this room and, you know, talk to our players and see our coaches back there, see our general manager, and just start working with players and try to start building this thing like all really good teams and programs and organizations do. They start back over. They don't necessarily pick up where they left off. They start back over.
When do you make the determination of who may not have been here, and then what's your level of concern starting, you know?
There is no concern. Whoever's here is going to get coached, is going to get developed, and he's going to learn our system. And honestly, I mean that, because they're all working. If they're pros, they're going to be working somewhere. And I really don't know who wasn't. I know a few guys that weren't, because they had some things that came up, and they texted their coach. They communicated and said, "Hey, coach, I'm not going to be there. Something happened," which that's all you can ask from them.
When you said that you're not, you said that you're not really a coach until you have players, and
sure,
the guys aren't. Given the limitations of phase one, are you now 20% a coach, or?
You know, I felt like a coach. I got to stand up in front of the team. There was a bunch of guys in here. There were coaches in here. There was an energy in the building. I think that's all we can really ask for. We're not going to complain about the rules. We're going to work within them, and we're going to be, you know, as creative as we can in developing our players.
What's it like putting your system and your philosophies in place for the first time in terms of being a head coach in the meetings today?
You know, it's a great experience. It's something that I've thought about since the day I got hired, how it would go, how it would be received. And so it was great. But then today is one step, and then tomorrow we'll come back and try to have another message in a team meeting, and then split them up offensively and defensively. And I know that Dean and Matt I'm going to try to implement their systems and continue to build that system in day two. And our players, you know, our coaches are going to try to begin to know our players and understand who they are, and then start to communicate with them and start to develop them.
What has since been here since the very beginning? What can you tell us about kind of his decision and how you move forward?
Yeah, I think quickly Steve came in on Friday and you know, had some reservations about going on to the 33rd season. And so we, you know, just asked him to come up with a decision as quickly as possible, and that's what he came up with. And we're excited about moving forward with Tom as our head strength coach and Taylor as our assistant strength coach, and we're in the process of now looking for a guy to help them in the weight room.
You've got some players who've been very visible with the workouts they've done even up to today. How do you feel about, I guess, some of the culture that's already in place with some of those players that you're inheriting?
Well, it's a good group. I think John and his staff has done a great job of bringing in players that, you know, care about the team, care about each other, and were successful last year. So we're very conscious of that, and we're going to try to build on that excitement of around, you know, new uniforms and making the playoffs and all those types of things. But just talk to the players about, hey, you know, we got to start back over, and everybody's undefeated right now, and we got to make our 4 hours better than everybody else's.
Long ways.
Somebody raise their hand, please.
Long ways to go, Mike, I know, as far as competition goes. But what do you tell players about, you know, who had starting jobs in 2017?
Yeah, we really even haven't even talked about a depth chart. I think they all understand that, you know, we're going to try to, you know, John and I, we're going to try to provide competition at every position within the roster. And then we're also expecting them to compete in the classroom, to learn, to compete on the field, whether that's running, whether that's lifting. They're pro football players or pro athletes. And so they understand that there's a competitive spirit that needs to be in each and every one of us for us to reach our full potential.
Is the playbook complete at this point? And to what extent is it a work in progress with input from players?
Well, I think that the playbook is complete. I mean, it's done. It's finished. I think what you find is players get professional initiative, right? I learned this from some veteran coaches. And when players are able to prove that they can, you know, do their job, you know, maybe they say, hey, coach, you ever thought about doing it this way? So that's always going to be something that we're going to listen to. You know, and then when we start game planning teams, I'm sure there'll be things that are added to the playbook, and there are things that somewhat, you know, you don't use the whole playbook every week.
You sticking with those on iPads?
Yeah, we're excited about having the iPads. I think our players like it. There may still be a few guys that enjoy writing down things on a notebook, but I think our players, I've certainly been converted to it. I like it. I have film on it. I've got our playbook on it. You've got your notes on there. So it's something that we're going to try to take advantage of the technology.
How valuable do you think this team will look, both offensively and defensively, once your system and schemes are installed? How different from the past few years?
Every year is different. So every year in the National Football League, there's going to be different players. There's going to be new players, new coaches, new schemes. So there may be a team that has no coaching changes, but they're going to look differently because they're trying to do things better. They're trying to win more games. We're all trying to get to the same goal.
How valuable did you find this part of the offseason when you were a player?
This is a great time to come back and be with your teammates and, you know, take advantage of – we got a great facility. And if they choose to come back and work, we're going to coach them. And so, you know, everybody's got some stuff going on. Whether they are here or not, we're going to coach them. When they come back in, we're going to coach them. You know, so there's different – everybody's got a different situation. Sometimes when I was a player – I went to the OTAs. I was 33 years old. I had two kids. It was like, you know, I just went to the OTAs. And then I was a 22-year-old player. I was at all the off-season conditioning things. And so it's year-to-year, player-to-player, case-by-case basis.
Can Benny Logan be a force for you in the middle against the run?
Well, he's stout. You know, he's stout. He's strong. No-nonsense guy. Got that impression from him early on in a visit that this is a guy that John and I felt really good about joining our team, what he's about, what his makeup is. He's the type of player that he is. He's physical. And he's a good guy. He's a good – I think he'd be a great teammate.
How healthy are guys coming back? Obviously, Jack's still rehabbing from the knee surgery. You got very many other guys that are nursing injuries?
Well, I think that we're a healthy team. I think like a lot of teams that have had a extended layoff, that we're fairly healthy. I mean, you mentioned Jack, but – I'm new to this, but I don't think there's an injury report that we have to put out right now. Do we, Robbie?
No.
Good.
What's the education process like with the new lowering of the helmet rule? And
yeah, you know, I'm not going to touch on that, but I do think – I mean, I think that it's important. Anything we can do to make our game safer for our players, the players in college at every level, players in high school at every level, and most especially the players at the youth level, whatever we can do to make it safer – that we need to try to do that. Now, I know that there's going to be some more conversations with the league, with the coaches, with the competition committee. So I don't think, you know, I can really comment on where that thing's going, but I know that there's going to be some communication, I think, as we move forward.
Do you anticipate having to spend extra time on that, though, on the fundamentals?
Well, we're always spending time on the fundamentals. And so if it comes down to, yeah, don't turn your helmet into a weapon, I think that's pretty important. I don't think we ever want to use our helmet or our headgear as a weapon. We're not out there to injure players or to try to turn our helmet and our bodies into torpedoes or spears or missiles. We're trying to play football as competitively and as physically and within the rules as we possibly can.
Is that a fine line from your own personal experience?
Well, I just don't. I think that there's a fine line, but I don't think you ever want to turn your body and use your helmet as a weapon. I think that that's pretty cut and dry, and hopefully, that's where we can move to.
How are you balancing your time right now as you get to know these guys, put in your systems, put in your schemes, and look to draft the next group of Titans?
Yeah, the most important players are the ones that are here. I would say that. So when they're here in the building, that's where my time's going to be spent. And when they're not, then we'll look at the player acquisition, and whether that's in free agency or now the next step is the draft. So I would imagine that this afternoon would be, somewhat devoted to where we thought we were today with the staff, and then moving on to looking at some more draft eligible players.
Can you touch on Will Compton, maybe how you like his playing style, maybe competition?
Well, he was a guy that has played, has started in games, and started in the NFL, has made tackles, has tackled starting running backs, has led a defense, has aligned a defense, made calls, made checks. So we like that from Will. Again, I think a great addition to our team as a teammate, who he is. He loves football. And so, we were excited about being able to get him and make him part of our team. But he'll compete like the rest of those guys at that inside linebacker.
Why is it important for you to get involved? I mean, we've seen, videos, reports from the road where you're getting pretty involved physically with, these prospects. I mean, why is that important to you, and what does that tell you about these guys?
Well, one, I think that's part of being a coach is just going out there and maybe instructing and saying, you may have been coached a different way in college. Here's how we would coach it. One, you see how quickly they pick it up. Two, when you're out there, you get a feel for what the guy's strength's like. I mean, some of these guys, they hit you and you kind of go flying, and then some of the other ones, maybe not so much. So I think that it's at least good for me to be able to do that. I enjoy it. I think that it gives us some feedback on the player. And you can't do that at every position, but it's just something that's how I'll coach our guys. And when we go out and evaluate players, we try to do everything we can to get a good sense of what the player's like.
Who's the guy whose lip you busted?
I don't know. There's been a bunch of workouts so far, but they've gotten me bunched too, so.
Do you give guys the eye test when you see them here for the first time to try to gauge how good a shape they're in?
No, I mean they were all sitting in the chairs and walking around the building, and so I'm sure Tom will say these guys, they look pretty good. They ran. This is what we're going to do, and I told them, let's find out where they're at, and then kind of develop your program kind of from there, and kind of take it from there. But most of these guys, they all been working, they all been doing something. They understand that they're a professional football player. And so, whether they're back here in a dead period working in our building or they're somewhere else working with somebody, they're all doing something, I would imagine.
How important is it for Marcus to come into this offseason completely healthy, not having to worry about rehab, where all he's got to do is learn the new offense and get ready for the season?
It's going to be important for everybody to be healthy, be engaged, be here, try to learn, try to develop. So whether that's Marcus, Taylor Lewan, Ben Jones, Derrick Henry, it's going to be important for them all to be healthy, be engaged, try to learn, and try to be a great teammate.
Imagine you expect that integration process, I guess, with Marcus as the head of the offense and what you guys already have with the playbook set.
How long I didn't
like for it to integrate together with what the player.
We're not going to rush. I think that's a huge mistake that we could make is try to rush and try to shove a bunch of stuff, down their throats. We do have, 2 weeks before we have a voluntary mini camp, which that'll be my job to kind of evaluate where we're at. I don't want to go out on the field with a bunch of stuff and have them not be able to execute. Whatever we feel like we know, then that's what we'll run during the mini camp.
Did you enjoy hearing whatever got to you about Marcus gathering with those guys out in California?
Sure. I mean, anytime our players can get together in the off season and go out and work together, I think that's a positive. And so the guys seemed like they were excited. They had a good group out there. They were working. Marcus enjoyed the guys that he was with from a coaching perspective out in California. And so for him to be able to share that with our receivers and some of our tight ends. I think that's great.
How much is this the if you're giving your team a one line message, is that it?
You know, I think that's at the end of the day, that's what football comes down to. I think knowing what to do and playing fast and aggressive. Are they going to film these signs and stuff, or how does that go? Is this just a news conference, or do they go in the locker room and put stuff in, like, because, you know, you guys go in the lockers. Like, that locker room is like a – this is like – it's important to the players, you know. So I hope that we don't go in guys' locker and film stuff in their locker. You know, I've heard that happen before. So I think your job is to go in there and try to get some information for our fans and for whoever. But understand that that's an NFL player's, you know, it's pretty sacred in there once you get down to it. So hopefully we don't have any of that going on where guys are nosing around or women are nosing around guys' locker.
Not looking to do that, but the press conference, that just seems...
Sure, but I'm just making a point about the locker room.
When you took the job and you were introduced, you talked about your relationship with Marcus and how important that was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Does that start today? And have you ever had to connect with a quarterback before?
Well, my son used to play quarterback until he said he didn't want to play football anymore. So the relationship between a coach and a player is critical on all levels. And obviously we all understand that a lot of that focus is going to be on the quarterback. You know, it didn't get started today. That relationship didn't get started today. It has started since the day that I got hired, and he pops into town and he says hello, or he's got this going on, or we're talking about his brother at Oregon, or, you know, whatever may be happening. I think that's, it takes time. And, you know, to the point I was trying to make to Cameron is that you don't want to rush anything. I told our coaches, like, we don't have to, like, jerk the wheel and try to go get to where we want to get to just today. You know, today was one day, it was a good step, and it was also an important way. Somebody's out of tape, I think.
How about that?
That means we're almost
done. Put that in the Smithsonian. That must be the timer.
Exactly where it's going.
So you don't want to rush. You don't want to rush. You know, I mean, I may have like a Taylor Lewan or Ben Jones. I've had history with Ben Jones, or now with Xavier Suofilo, that these guys that I've known before, right, you kind of have a better relationship with them just because you've spent time with them. But then the relationship that I'm building with Spain or Klein or any of those other guys, you know, that's I'm not going to try to rush those and force those.
You going to be a guy who walks through the locker room, spends time there, or do you want players to come see you in their office?
Well, they know where I'm at, and I see them in the hallways, but I don't think that, you know, like I tried to mention, that's a player's sanctuary to go in there and kind of get away from some things and be around other players and build that bond in the locker room. So I don't think that they necessarily would want the head coach hanging out in there, and I don't want to be a guy that hangs out in there. They know they can come see me. They have seen me. They will see me. And if I need to see a player, I'll walk in and kind of grab them, but I'm not going to hang out in the locker room. I don't think that's, you know, where I should be. Last one here.
What kind of reviews you get for your Florida Georgia line performance?
Poor. Poor, Jim. Poor. Very poor. So,
you didn't have any agent coming this
No. Summer, no. That'll, hopefully that's the last song I got to sing in Nashville.